Today, we're going to be talking about the time I didn't get paid for 2 months. And the context is I've been financially independent since I was 17 years old. I dropped out of high school, moved to LA, paid my own place for my own coin. And the way I did that was through YouTube. I started a social media agency. We were helping brands, basically work with creators on YouTube, TikTok, all that fun stuff. And like back then, I wasn't making any money. But now, you know, we work with brands like Netflix, Warner Media recently, stuff like that. It's been really crazy. But even though we make money as a company or a small agency, there's months where people don't pay us. And I'm going to be talking about like how I survived those months. And if you're a freelancer and you're kind of dealing with some financial instability, I hope this video is helpful because we all go through it. No matter how successful you think someone is, we all go through insecurities and financial issues. So let's just dive right into it. So how the fuck, Jade, did I not get paid for 2 months? Because you might be wondering, like, don't you have a lawyer? Like, don't you have a contract to protect you? So the answer is yes. Like, you can have the best lawyer in the world. I pay my attorney some good coin to make sure we're protected. But the truth is, and my lawyer even told me this, he's like, Jade, no matter how good an agreement is, a client can try their best. You know, they can respect it, but sometimes things are not guaranteed. Like, life is just not guaranteed. Like, people can, you know, sue you and you might not expect it. People can try to question your wording and you might not expect it. So the key thing here is we do have an agreement in place with all our brands and clients, but sometimes we have an oopsie daisy. So let me just explain the story. So this is about 1 year ago. We're working with a client, let's name them Orange, okay? So Orange hired our agency to make a content piece for TikTok with a creator. I'm not gonna name names, but let's just say Orange was a giant company, a giant conglomerate brand, okay? Our agency was tasked to hire this creator. Our budget was $100,000. Like, this is a huge budget. Now the issue is they gave us a very tight deadline. They told us, X8, you need to finish this project in 3 weeks. And at the time, it was very doable, but it didn't allow a lot of room to negotiate because typically what we do, right, is we sign the agreement, then we start, and then we produce the video, and then it's done. But for this project to specifically work, we had to start the agreement while the creator was starting the content just because it was a huge piece of work. It was a lot of editing, a lot of back and forth. So I told the client, hey, like, we need to work on this agreement ASAP. Creator, are you okay with moving forward even though we don't have the agreement in place? And this creator was comfortable doing it with one condition. They were comfortable moving forward with starting the video even though their agreement wasn't in place, unless if there was basically a guarantee that they would get paid up front. So basically, usually most brands, most conglomerate companies, will pay you net 30 days, net 45, net 60 sometimes, which basically means you don't get paid until 1 month to 2 months later after you produce the video, after it's done. We negotiated our terms. We're like, hey, conglomerate brand, Orange, we want to do 50-50. We get paid up front upon signature of agreement. Then the next 50% is after the content is done, net 30. This was a battle. You would think getting paid in a 60-day time frame was reasonable. It is not. it's a reasonable ask. It's just, it's very hard to enforce. The thing I've learned working with big corporations is it's really nobody's fault. It's just there are very slow payment systems that corporations set up just to make sure things are, you know, a company that big is making sure they're balancing cash flow. So they're going to wait as long as possible to pay a vendor. That's just the nature of the business. And also, it's just a slow process because, you know, they have only certain employees and departments that are in charge of the finance. Like, for example, you could be talking to the social media manager, and even though you ask the social media manager, hey, where's our money, they can't do much. So it's like hard for us. You know, I understand, and I'm not hating on Orange or anybody, like, I understand it's so hard to be working with a business that's smaller and working with a business that's larger. Larger companies move slower, and I understand that. So it's hard to really just get mad at anybody, but it was just still a really frustrating situation, right? Like, as an agency, you know, we pay creators, we pay contractors that make the video, you know, they need money ASAP, right? And I don't want to be responsible, but I did have to, you know, really communicate up front, hey, client, we need the money up front. And finally, they like, we're like, okay. But the thing is, here's the caveat. You would think, oh, perfect, they're just going to pay you 50% of it. So like, that's 50K. That's not how it works. So basically, once we got the approval, our agreement said we would get 50% of the money upon contract signature. So that means the agreement could have been done, right? Our lawyer looks at it, their lawyer looks at it, we go back and forth. This takes 2 weeks, by the way. By the time it's ready for signature, the person that needs to sign it is usually not the lawyer, it's usually not the social media person, it's someone above in the department of Orange. Now, this person was hard to reach because they also have a bunch of papers to sign. So we were like in the pipeline for a few days. So it's been already 2.5 weeks, keep in mind, about this agreement process. The creator is still making the video at this time, but we don't have a guarantee that we're gonna get paid, right? Just because obviously with, you know, good diligence, we're gonna get paid, but it's still really scary. So I was a little concerned. But anyways, we finally got the video signed. It's approved. We're gonna get paid 50%. Now, if I were just to like examine that whole situation, I don't know if I would do that again. Obviously, you're taking a huge risk. Like, I wasn't forcing anybody to like do free work, right? Like, I was just saying like, hey, if you want this project, you gotta start now because they have a tight deadline. Like, we need to finish this video here or else we're not gonna get this project in general. So if I were, you know, to redo the situation, I probably wouldn't take that a project like that again. Like, I would be like, you know, we have to have the agreement first before we start. And I've been doing that since. Like, my agency has always been pretty good ever since that occurrence with Orange, you know, to be like, hey, money first so that everyone can get paid on time. It's just going to help every person in this agreement. But anyways, moving forward, once the agreement was signed, you might be voting, cool, you get the money, right? No. Basically, you don't just get paid through PayPal as a vendor for a big company like Orange. You have to submit an invoice in their payment processing system, which sometimes takes up to 30 days to fulfill because basically companies have like something called like a payday, like a payment run, and they usually do at the end of the month, sometimes at the end of a week if it's a faster moving company. So basically it's just so coincidentally, we weren't in their payment run for the first 50%. Like, we were like, we just missed it by a few days. So we have to be like basically 20 days until we got the first half of the payment. So you can see like from the first day, which is like contracting, getting agreement signed, that's 2 weeks, another 3 weeks to get paid from the first 50% and another like 3 weeks on top of that to get the other half. It took around 2.5 months. Now, we did get paid, everyone did get paid, but it was just really tough because, you know, brands wait to the last minute of the contract to pay you guys out, as in like our agency, right? And you know, I get it, it's for cash flow reasons, but it's just still, you know, it doesn't take away how frustrating it is for us as a small business, but also contractors that are a part of it. Like, you know, I had to have really tough conversations to people saying, you know, hey, the payment's coming, it's just running late. And you know, sometimes I actually have to accelerate it and like I have to use my own payment to pay out the creators and stuff sometimes, which is really tough because if you don't, you know, if you're not prepared for it, sometimes you have to spend 20-30K on like advances. But you know, the deal with Orange was resolved. It was a really good campaign, but it was definitely very stressful. Like, I knew it stressed out Orange as much as it stressed out us, just because the people of these companies aren't bad. They're not bad people. It's just the whole system is not very advanced. So, you know, inherently, I don't judge these people. It's just a really tough situation we were in. Now you might be wondering, Jade, how did you survive without getting paid for 2.5 months? Because 100K is a lot of money. So this is where I learned so many things about financing, saving money, having a cash buffer to survive through these winter months. I call them like bare winters. So for 2.5 months, I didn't get paid and I still had to pay people. I still have expenses. So these are the things I learned and I'm going to share them right now. So hopefully, if you're also self-employed, it can help you navigate through these cold months. Okay, the first thing, and this is obvious, is to have a lawyer. I have a very good lawyer. We had to end up sending a demand letter, which is basically when you're like, hey, pay up. And I pay my lawyer a very good coin for this. So, you know, we were able to enforce some deadlines, but it's very hard to write that language if you're not legally advanced. And you make sure you read the terms. So that's the first thing if you're dealing with that. Now, if you can't afford a lawyer, you might have to read your own contracts, but the minute you make money, save up for one. All right, the second thing is you want to have a cash buffer. So a cash buffer is essentially money you put in your checking account at all times. And if the money goes below it, you like refill it essentially. So the way this works is when I get paid as a company, we get money to our checking account. And then I will pay whoever, and then I will send a portion to my salary for to me to eat, basically, and turn on the lights, and then the rest to a savings account, right? And the money that's left, I usually keep a nice cash buffer just in case, you know, we have to have another expense. There's maybe a fee I didn't realize. You just want to have a good buffer so you can also use it if you don't have a salary or maybe you have to pay off someone out of the blue. Now, the thing about a cash buffer is it depends on how much you need, right? So like if you're a personal freelancer, maybe you don't have any other expenses. I always, you know, first started with a cash buffer of around $1,000. So this is money that's not, it's like not on your personal account. It's not in your saving. It's just money in your checking account that you can use. Now my cash buffer personally is 10 times that. I know some people only keep like $3,000 in their checking account, even though they have like a lot of expenses. I don't know. Personally for me, I just do around like 7 to 10K just because I just feel more comfortable that way. But everybody's cash buffer is different. Now, once you have a cash buffer, this is really great because say you don't get paid for 2 months, you can use your cash buffer, right? You can obviously use as much in your personal account, but you can pull out in this money and you know that it's like there's no debt. It's going to be safe to use. Now, if you run out of the cash buffer, and this happened to me, you want to utilize a credit line. Credit cards are not bad. I never knew that. I thought credit cards were like evil. If you use it, you're basically gonna like owe so much more money to people. In reality, credit cards are super, super good for you because as long as you're not overextending yourself and having way too many responsibilities, it's there for you as a business. So personally for me, I'm 20 years old. I've only had a company for basically two years because I started at 17, but I wasn't incorporated until 18. But basically, my cash credit is like $25,000, which is not a lot. I know it should be a lot more than that. But basically, if I run out of my cash buffer, I can use my credit cards. And basically, I only usually use 30% of it. You don't want to exceed 30% of your credit line because it will hurt your, you know, finance score. It's called a FICO score, which I won't go into. But, you know, I can use around like $10,000 of it. So if I say I use my cash buffer and I use my credit card, that typically gets me to like 4 or 5 months of like getting by. Now, obviously, that's just for my personal expenses. That's not for like my team and stuff. I have, you know, multiple contractors that work for my company. But that is like a good resort if I don't get paid for 2.5 months. And thank God I had a credit line and thank God I had a cash buffer because that definitely helped me survive when I didn't get paid. Now the third thing, and this is called an emergency fund, is when you basically, for whatever reason, use up your cash fund, use up your credit, and then you now need an emergency fund. This is what I would do. I usually keep 3 to 5 months of your personal necessary monthly income. So basically you take your monthly personal costs, so say it's $3,000 a month, times however months you need, so like say 5 months, and this is called an emergency fund. So 3 times 5 is $15,000. And usually you want to keep this in a savings account or a high interest savings account, but basically this is money where if shit hits the fan, you have money for yourself to keep going. Now, usually when you have these three layers, you most likely don't need all three because it's quite a long timeline you need. Like for example, for 2.5 months, I really only use my cash fund and a little bit of the credit line. But I always pay my credit line in full every month. Like once I use it, I try my best to pay it off. Now, sometimes it's not perfect. You can't pay it all the way, and that's okay. Like if you have a balance on your credit card, it's not good, but don't feel ashamed. Like the thing that I've learned when I didn't get paid for 3 months was you're already going through so much stress. Do not shit on yourself for like being unproductive or not doing enough because sometimes you just have to wait it out. A lot of problems in business solve itself. Just be very patient. So my next tip after all that is just to save as much as you can because you're going to maybe in the first 2 years not have any money for savings. I know a lot of people, and including me, when I was first starting to make money as my own business owner, I didn't have money for savings. I was spending everything back on my business. I was spending everything back to pay my rent, to turn on the lights. And it was so hard because I think, you know, I wanted nicer things. I wanted like a down payment on a car or things like that when I was like 16, 17. But you just don't have that in the beginning. And that's okay, but just try to make an effort to save $50 a week or $10 a week and put that into a high interest savings account or just put it into an investment where you don't touch it, you don't touch this money, and it just sits there. This is not an emergency fund. This is not a cash buffer or credit line. This is just money that you put for your financial future. For me, I use crypto. That's what I am most comfortable with. I'm very understanding. I have a crypto company called NF Treehouse. So everyone's different. You can do stocks, you can do whatever. And might I add, this is not financial advice, so do your own research. But I find it super helpful to save as early as you can. I didn't start saving really till last year when I was like 19. So if you don't have money, it's okay. Sometimes you have to invest everything you got and you might not have money to do savings, but try your best. It's okay if it takes time. It took me a while. So don't hurt. Do not beat yourself up for it. All right. So I'm going to go into some Q&A. If you guys are so far enjoying this podcast, make sure you subscribe, give this a 5-star review on Spotify or wherever you're listening to. All right. So Megan asks, what's your favorite thing to spend money on? This is a really good question. I love to spend my money on food. I am not even shameful. I think food is one of the best ways to spend your money. It's usually not damaging. Like, you can't regret spending money on food, usually, unless you're going to Nobu every weekend. Food is so gratifying. It tastes so good. It's usually not really harmful because you can eat it. It's not wasteful because you can eat it. It's not, you know, it's not obviously an investment, but food obviously is no-brainer, the best. For some context, I order and eat out 4 to 5 times a week. I know that's a lot. I know I could be saving more money. It's just personally what makes me happy because I like to use food as a social tool. I use it to have meetings and I find it very helpful. What is in your credit card lineup? Really good question. I personally have the Amex Gold business card. I will link it below. I think it's a referral code. It's amazing. You get so many points for travel. I literally booked like 5 flights for free using the points just because like each of them were $200 because I had $1,000 worth of credit. It was amazing. I love Amex. Please sponsor me. I also have another one. I have an Alaskan card. I have a Carrot card. Carrot is like a bank for creators. I will also put my referral link below. Wow, this is me becoming a financial YouTuber. But if I were to recommend anyone who travels a lot, Amex Gold card, it's great. And also, if you're a creator, get the Carrot card, and I will put those links below. Okay, the next step is Zoe asks, how do you plan your savings from 5 to 10 years from now? So I don't plan like that. I don't plan how much I want to save in 5 to 10 years. I plan, what do I want to achieve? And then what do I need to save for that? Like, I don't save to just save. I find that very hard to do. Like, unless, okay, there's a difference between like an emergency fund and like a checking account. Like, I feel like that makes sense. But for like bigger things, I like to have an idea of what I'm saving for. So right now I'm saving for a house in the next 5 to 10 years. That's the biggest thing. I'm trying to buy a house in California, which you need a lot of money. Johnny asks, how much money do you want to make before it's holy fuck, this is too much money? Wow, this is a really good question. I personally think I live in LA, so everybody's amount is so different. But as a personal salary, I personally think above like 500K is, for like a household, is like pretty damn good. Like, if I can make 500K and my significant other could pull in the same amount, I think that's very good. I think, like, if I were to look at it, like, my 20s, like, I'm maybe not thinking about a family and, like, a house, I would say, like, 200,000. I think things change when you have kids. I've never had kids in my life, but recently I've just been thinking about the future. Not, like, I'm trying to have kids now. It's just more I'm thinking about, like, you know, I'm trying to buy a house in California. Also, how much do I need to, like, raise a family here? And it's a lot, but, I mean, I think 500K is pretty good. Obviously, you know, if I was a millionaire, that'd be cool too. I have a company that's worth, you know, seven figures, but, you know, personally, like money in my bank account, I don't know. I mean, I think personally it'd be 200K. I feel like after that, like if you're bringing in more than 20K a month, I think you're like, you're basically kind of almost in a space where like, you can kind of get more miserable. Like there's these studies that showcase the more money you have beyond, I think $100,000 doesn't make you happier. And I don't actually want to be in a place where I have like money that like, I don't know what to do with. Like I know for some people that are in financial issues, this might be kind of like offensive, but I guess what I'm trying to say is like, you really only need, if to live in California, like $100,000 to $200,000, I think beyond it, it's nice to have, but you don't need it. Zoe asks, what advice would you give to Gen Z about investing? Start small. You do not need to put in thousands of dollars into crypto. Put in $50 a month. And through time and compounding effect, you can get returns. Okay. Easy side hustles for people to start in their 20s when they're busy. If you're trying to make money and you maybe work a full-time job and you don't really know what to do, I would say, you know, I think a great side hustle that is very, you know, doable is some sort of flipping. Like you buy something and you flip it, like whether that's Depop or thrifting. Like I find it's very easy because I used to do this a lot. Like I would buy something for $50 and I would flip it for $100. Like for example, a denim jacket. But I would wear the denim jacket for like a while and then I would flip it. Like I think flipping things is such a good thing because you buy something you like, and then you sell it, usually if you keep it in good condition and it's a rare item, you can sell it for more. I also think investing, like, you know, learning how to invest money in crypto, trading is really good. You don't really have to think about it too much if you just do $50 a week. So I would say that. And the other thing is like, you know, I would refrain from trying to monetize a hobby. That's the only thing. Try to make a side hustle out of things that you like, are like interested in, but it's not your like lifeline. Like I wouldn't necessarily say if you're an artist, make money out of your art, because it kind, sometimes you can ruin the doing of it by trying to make money out of it. That's just my two cents. If you disagree, let me know. But I've been an artist for so long. I've been a musician. I keep stuff like that to myself and I don't try to make money off everything, but I will make money off things like clothes because I'm not like deathly passionate about it. All right, we're gonna take one more question. What's a good price for renting a house in LA? I'm gonna assume when you say house, you mean like 3 or 4 bedrooms, right? If you're looking at my area, I live near Manhattan Beach. I would say like 5 to 6K a month is pretty good. I would say 4 to 5K is really good. This place is expensive, man. If you're looking at like Echo Park, more inner LA, like more into the downtown area, I would say 4K is pretty good. But the beach here is like, I haven't seen any 3-bedroom, 2-bedroom house for lower than 5K. 4K if you're lucky, a month. All right, do you think it's better to save a lot, if not all your money, or simply just make a lot of money? Wow, this is actually a really simple question, but a really good question. I think, this is what I think. If you make a lot of money, but you spend it all, you're broke. People that I know that are rich are not rich because they make millions of dollars, because they know how to end up with a positive at the end of the month. I don't make that much money compared to like most entrepreneurs that like have billions of dollars. You know, I'm just really good at saving, putting it in high interest savings account, having money in my checking balance, and I always, end of month, have a positive balance. I know so many YouTubers especially that make a lot of money, like 7 figures, $1 million, but spend $1 million and don't have money for taxes. So I think it's way better to make a decent amount, but save. Have money in your checking account. Just because you make a lot of money doesn't mean you take home profit. All right, that is all for today's podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I love you. I will see you guys in the next one.